You know, there is something about the gospel message, no matter which part of the gospel is preached, there is hope associated with every part of it. There's always hope. And the reason is because the Lord has an expected end for all of us. And whether or not everyone makes it into heaven, and unfortunately most won't, the Lord has a place with your name in it, and He has an end, and that's the expected end that He wants for us. And so when you look through the gospel message, you find that no matter what the message is, the Lord always offers hope. Whenever you feel dealt with and you begin to think about things and you find needs in your life, which we all will, and you find that you feel void of hope that accompanies it, that's usually not the Lord. Because the Lord, when He brings needs and begins to identify in our lives places where we need to move up, He offers a way out. Thank the Lord. He offers hope. I'm thankful for that tonight. I have a message that was given to the Lord to the church. So the message that I have tonight to remind you of speaks to the importance of acknowledging your need. Because you see, unless we get to the place where we can acknowledge our need, the Lord has difficulty in getting us to the place where we can experience salvation. And He wants us to experience salvation. So He wants us to come to the place where we can acknowledge our need. I read somewhere, I believe Adam Clark is the one that said this, there are three words in all languages that are most difficult to pronounce. I was wrong. And I can expand on that a little and say, I am needy. I need help. I don't have what it takes. I'm wrong. I'm in a place where the Lord is not pleased with. That's hard to say. But I also want to say this tonight, that there's going to come a day when I believe those are going to be three of the most easy words to say in all languages. When the Lord comes back, it is going to flow out of us, oh God, I am so needy before You. Have mercy on me. We don't plead mercy unless we feel like we need mercy. But every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess the name of the Lord. Every person in here tonight, your knee is going to bow. And your tongue is going to confess the name of the Lord. And I haven't been there and I don't know, but I want to tell you how I feel today. I feel desperate for the mercy of God. Don't you? I feel desperate for the mercy of God on my life today. Can you imagine what it's going to feel like when the Lord comes breaking through those clouds and we realize that this is it? This is the judgment? Eternity stands before us. Oh God, have mercy, for I am needy before You. You know what? I want to acknowledge that before the judgment. I want to acknowledge it now. I want to get it out into the open. Lord, I need You. I'd like to start this evening, and I'd like to read to start with, before we get to our main text, in the first chapter of Revelation. It said, blessed is he, in the third verse, Revelation 1 and 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Saints, the time is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. The time is at hand for us to understand what the Lord wants us to hear. And He started off this book of Revelation, John did, before he got into what he saw, what his vision was, what the words that the Lord gave him. He started off and he said, "Blessed are those that readeth, that hear the words of this prophecy, and keepeth those things that are written therein, because the time is at hand." That's why they're blessed, because the time is at hand. This is the day, not tomorrow, not next week. The time is at hand, folks, to acknowledge where we stand, to read the words of the Lord in His gospel, to hear it, and to follow it. That's where how He started. And I'd like to start my message tonight with those words. The time is at hand. This isn't the time to put it off. This isn't the time tonight to listen to the message and think, well, you know, one of these days, I think that sounds good, and that's what I want to be. And then I'm going to give that some consideration. I want to tell you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, the time is at hand. Now is the accepted time. There is always a more convenient season. Now is the accepted time. And I'd like to turn now to the third chapter of Revelation. And I'd like to start in the 13th verse. This is a sobering passage of Scripture. But as we read it, let's remember that this is a gospel of hope. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." To me, this is a stirring account, a grave account, with eternal consequences for all that hear these words and the churches that he was preaching to. If they were to go on and not heed what he said, he said, "I'll spew thee out of my mouth." And by extension, the message is to us tonight as well. By extension, if we do not take heed to the words that we heard, that the Lord gave through the mouth of John, we will also experience eternal damnation. I don't want to experience that. I don't want that to be my lot. So I want to listen and I want to take heed. And I ask you tonight that you too would listen, that you would take heed to what the gospel message says tonight. Sometimes I'm afraid that we give too casual attention to the gospel. I'm afraid we give too casual attention to the Word of God that is preached. We don't give earnest enough attention too often. Many people don't. Maybe you do, but too many people give too casual attention. Folks, this is the Word of God. I turned first to John 1 today because I thought about it. Remember what it says, John 1 and 1? And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. This is God. The God was, He was merciful to give us a part of Him. We say, well, who is God? Let me tell you who God is. He gave us part of who He is. This is God. And the words that we just read tonight came from God's mouth. This is God. This is God speaking to us. I want to give heed to what God says. If those two doors flew open tonight, and the Lord in all of His glory, in all of His majesty came flowing into this room, I will guarantee you there wouldn't be a soul in here tonight, but that you wouldn't have your full attention given to God. But you know what? That's not what He chose to do. God did not choose to come in all of His glory in our midst. He chose to bring His Word by His Spirit, by His Word, and yes, by the foolishness of preaching. You're going to have to look past me. And there are people that have gone and disregarded the messenger of the Lord because they minimized the messenger. And God was wroth and destroyed. We have parables like that. Jesus Himself said, and the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which, and a table was prepared, and he sent his servants and told them to come in and come sit down at the wedding. I've got everything prepared. And the people that they came across, they looked at him and they treated him despitefully. They didn't give him any credence. They killed him. And it said, what? Did the Lord say, well, they didn't probably realize it was me. He sent His people and He destroyed them. He was angry. I say all of that to say this. This is the Word of God. The Word of God is presented in a still small voice. It's presented in the simplicity of the gospel. It's presented by people who endeavor to fill a little place to preach the gospel, or mothers in Israel that distribute and to the necessity of the saints and other people who fill their place, whether it's in their prayer or in their song. That's how the Lord speaks to us. And He wants us to listen. He wants us to get a hold of it because it's how we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged according to it. And we're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, did I not tell you? Was the message not brought to your very hearing? And we're not going to be able to say, but Lord, that wasn't you. And He's going to say, it was me. That was my word. And if you would have had an open heart, If you would have been willing, if you would have demonstrated more humility, you would have recognized it was my word. But because of the hardness of your heart, because of the lack of humility that you demonstrated, you didn't see it. But it was my word. May God help us. Listen to what He says tonight, the word of the Lord. He said, He that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Every one of us in here tonight have ears. Every one of us looks to me like we have ears. And all of us that are in here, we can hear. This applies to us. The Lord knew this was going to end up in a book that was going to be preached to millions of people. It's in here for a reason. It's not just in here to the church of Laodicea. He said unto all that hath an ear, not just those at Laodicea, unto every one that hath an ear to hear, hear what the message, what the angel has to say to the churches. He didn't say to the unbelievers either. It applies to the unbelievers, but saints, he was preaching to the church. We're part of the church. We're associated with the church. That you're my church family. You're who I associate. We're part of God's church, and the Lord has a message for us. He said, if you have an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May God help us listen to what God says. Now listen to what he said in the 15th verse. Well, we'll start with the 14th. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. He said, I know thy works. Have you ever thought about that? That's all he said. He said, I know thy works. Do you know that the Lord knows your works? He didn't go into a lot of detail and say, you know, church, I know your works, and let me prove to you that I know your works. I know that you're strong in these areas over here, and I know that the other day that you did this, and he didn't go into a lot of explanation. He didn't need to. This is God. And he simply says, I know thy works. And you're not hot and you're not cold. Some people say, well, works really aren't that important. Works aren't that important. It's where your heart is. It's just as long as everything's okay between you and the Lord, all can be okay. We are not saved by our works. Our works don't save us. Thank the Lord. Because if they did, there's not a one of us in here that would be saved. But don't minimize works. Because works begin to demonstrate the state of our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Fruit comes from what's within. And the Lord can look. Jesus told us, you'll know them by their fruits. And then he repeated himself several verses later. He said, by their fruits ye shall know them. He wasn't saying that for us to be in judgment of other people. But the Lord knows our works. And we're going to be judged by our works. What did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men, for He shall bring, what? Every work, whether it be good, whether it be evil, and with every secret thing. Saints, He knows our works. He knows your works. He knows my works. There's nothing getting by our Lord. He's not coming back to judge congregations. He's not coming back to judge blocks of people. He's coming back to judge us personally.
He's coming back to judge Rod Smith. And I'm going to stand in front of the Lord and He's going to say, I know thy works. And you know what? I'm going to have no argument with Him. And there's nothing I'm going to be able to remind Him of. There's nothing that I'm going to be able to try to explain to Him and to help Him understand why. And then, oh Lord, apparently you saw this, but did you know about this? He didn't even go there with the Laodiceans. He just said, I know thy works. It gives me pause. Our works are a bit of a barometer to the condition of our heart. I work in manufacturing plants, and I've worked in several of them, and I've been in many of them. And do you know what covers the computer screens? You know what covers the control panels? Indicators. Indicators. The state of affairs. How are things running? What does the vibration look like? What's the temperature look like? And you say, well, it's not the thermocouple. It's not the thing that's measuring vibration. It's not the thing that's telling you the speed that's right or wrong, that has any inherent value in itself. But it's telling you a little bit about something, what's going on out in the heart of the plant. And if it starts to tell you that there's something wrong, you'd best go out and start to see if there's something wrong. Because if you ignore the indicators, eventually something catastrophic is going to happen. And the same will happen in our lives. If we're not concerned about our works, if there isn't a carefulness in the way that we live our lives, if we're not concerned about, Lord, I want to live my life so that when the world looks upon me, they see you in everything that I do. Lord, I am concerned how my testimony is being viewed by the world. Lord, I want to live. I want my actions to demonstrate godliness and holiness and righteousness. Because the Lord, He knows our works. And He told the Laodiceans, He said, I know thy works. And He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're neither hot nor cold. Did you know that to keep something cold or to keep it hot, there has to be a constant energy source connected to whatever it is you're trying to keep hot or to keep cold? Cold things are good. Hot things are good. I like cold water. I like hot chocolate. I like hot food. I like cold food. But lukewarm stuff? You know how it gets lukewarm? The energy source is unplugged. That's how it gets lukewarm. And do you know what temperature it typically... Take that back. Do you know what temperature it always will go to? Room temperature. Temperature of your surroundings. The Lord just gave me that thought the other day. The temperature of your surroundings. If we unplug the energy source, which is the Spirit of God, we become at room temperature. And we begin to feel comfortable with what's around us because it's what our temperature has normalized to. And we can say, well, it's not hot and it's not cold, it's kind of lukewarm. I want to say something tonight. The Lord has no use for lukewarm Christians. The Lord has no use. If we unplug the energy source which keeps us hot or cold. In other words, something that's good. Something that can be invigorating or warm you up or cool you down. And we take the energy source away from that. The Lord no longer has use of it because He's not part of it anymore. You just disconnected Him. So then when we begin to do things that are unlike the Lord, and then there begins to be works that are in maybe just one part of our life that's not consistent with the Scripture. It's not consistent with the unchanging, uncompromising Word of God. The Lord can't be part of it. Because it's not Him. We just unplugged ourselves from Him. And the Lord told the church, He said, "You're not cold and you're not hot. Therefore, I will spew thee out of my mouth." There's not a one of us here that wants to be spewed out of the mouth of God. May God help us stay connected to the energy source. It is vital that we give ourselves to being alive for God. God wants passion in His Christians. God wants passion in His servants. He wants us to be dependable servants of God who are following the road, the highway that Isaiah talked about in the 35th chapter, the highway of holiness. He wants us to be living with passion in our hearts. He wants us to live with energy, erring on the side of truth and not trying to figure out what we can get by with and still be okay. Keep yourself plugged into the Spirit of the Lord. Have passion. Have it be everything. It's all about you. It can't help but come out. It'll come out if you're plugged in. If there's power fed to that light switch and I go flip it on, the light is going to come on. And when the light comes on, it is going to change the state of being. It's going to change the environment. It's going to change what I see with my eyes. But if I choose to begin to live to the way that I want to live and try to hold on to a knowledge of truth as a security blanket, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The energy source is cut off. The light switch gets turned off. All of a sudden, my temperature, my spiritual temperature begins to regulate to the temperature of my surroundings. And pretty soon I start saying, "I don't see it that way. Well, I heard what the minister said, but I just don't see it that way." I know you don't see it that way. The light's turned off. The energy source is disconnected. You're lukewarm. You're at the same temperature as everything around you. You don't know when you're touched with something that's of a different spiritual temperature because you're that temperature. You won't see the difference. You won't know. People say, "Well, we live in different times." Amen to that. I agree, we live in different times. Well, people, dad, uncle, pastor, people just don't view it like that anymore. I know. No disagreement. I agree with you there too. People don't view it the same way they used to. And it disturbs me. And it frightens me. And it concerns me because the Word of the Lord does not change with time. The Lord's Word does not regulate to worldly temperature. It doesn't normalize to room temperature just depending on who's around you. When you put yourself in the presence of those who do not have God, and you stay in their presence for a period of time, and you begin to yoke up with them. Young people don't yoke up with people of the world. When you make decisions on who to marry, don't yoke up with people who are way back in the field and have not pushed their plow as far as you have. People that don't have the knowledge of the truth, it doesn't mean that everybody back there is going to be sent to hell. The Lord's merciful to them, and the Lord is going to judge them according to where they are. But as soon as you turn around and you go backwards and you begin to yoke up with that the Lord has already shown you light and truth in, there's going to be, first of all, the light switch is going to go off. And you're going to go backwards. And then you're going to yoke up with something. And for a while, there's going to be some things that don't seem quite right. But eventually, because the power source has been cut off, pretty soon you're going to say, you know, I see things differently. My eyes have been opened. And I realize now that it wasn't just like I used to think it was. And you said it right, flat, dead on. You don't see it like it used to, and you won't. The only problem is you're not seeing it right. You're not seeing it according to light. Because you're lukewarm now. You're not connected to the energy source. And the Lord was talking to the church. He's talking to us. It seems like there's less... I'm going to be careful here. I'm going to get off track. There seems like there's less and less insulation between us and the world. That's one of the reasons we have standards of protections that we employ. It's one of the reasons that we have safeguards and walls of protection that I don't have to give you scripture and verse that says, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do this. I do things that are consistent with the principles of the Bible, and I do things to keep me within holiness and righteousness, and I do things to insulate myself from the world, to keep the temperature of the world from affecting me, and so that I can allow the energy that the Lord gives me to bring me up to the spiritual place that He wants me to be. And He gives me a responsibility to insulate myself from the world. I have a responsibility to do that. And I do it because I want to. I do it because I don't want the energy source cut off. I start knocking those things down, pushing the insulation away and say, the Lord's powerful enough. He's my salvation. I can still do this. It's not me that's being saved anyway. It's not my works. It's the Lord. And we begin to have that attitude. Don't you know that the Lord is going to recognize that that's not where your heart is? And He'll turn the light switch off. Not because He doesn't want you saved. It's because He can't dwell in a temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That gives me a responsibility. I'm the temple. God said, I'll dwell in you. You'll be my people. Thank the Lord for that. Praise God. He came out of the Holy of Holies. The veil in the temple was rent, and the Lord went out looking for all that would allow Him to come in, that they could take up their abode in a holy and a righteous temple. And He said, I'll help you make it righteous. I'll help you address those things in your life that isn't right. I'll help put your feet on solid ground, but you have to let me. You have to stay connected to the energy source. You have to allow me to show you and to direct you, and you have to be willing to change You have to be willing to allow your spiritual temperature, if you will, to be changed from where it is. And you will begin to feel different than the temperature of the world around you. And you're not going to fit in anymore. But stick with me, and I'll see you through, and I'll give you abundant life if you'll stay connected with me. That's the hope of the gospel. But he told the church, he said, but you're lukewarm, and I'll spew you out. And he went on and he said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Did you know that we say a lot of things? We say a lot of things. And this was God talking. He said, because thou sayest, thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We say so much. But you know what? Just because we say it doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true. I can line everybody up on that side of the room. And if all of you agree and say this is the way it is, if it's inconsistent with the Scripture, regardless of what you said, you're wrong. You can say it all day long if you'd like. You would be wrong. You would be mistaken. And the Lord said, because you say, because thou sayest. Why do we say so much? Why are we so ready to so quickly say, well, that's not how it is. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. I don't need to live that way. The Lord doesn't expect that of me. Why are we so quick to say that? I'm okay. I'm all right. Because it helps make us feel better. Because if we don't say that, then all of a sudden there's some accountability when we begin to acknowledge that we have a need. I had a man that worked for me one time. He was a few years older than I, and he actually told me in the shop, people were around, he said, I don't read the Bible as much as I should. He said, because I know if I read it, I'll be held accountable to it, and I really don't want to be held accountable to it. And I think he was serious. He knew he was being kind of funny. And I looked at him and I said, you're already being held accountable to it. You know where the truth is. You know where to go. And if you choose not to go there, you're already being held accountable to it. He's not in this world anymore. Died, drunk, driving, killed himself. Gone. Sat across my desk different times. Talked with him. He knew. He knew where he was wrong. But he kept on going. And his day came where he stood before the Lord. And the Lord looked at him and said, I know thy works. And you are accountable. And there will be nothing that he can say. He'll be speechless. Because thou sayest. So many times we choose not to look, and then we as human beings say, well, I don't see it. We don't look and we say, well, I just don't see it. It's because you're not looking. May God help us to look. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I don't want to be found in that state. Not where I want to be, folks. I don't think they thought they
Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I'm exactly where I need to be with the Lord. I'm in need of nothing. I have arrived spiritually." Have you ever heard anyone say that? I haven't. I haven't heard anyone say that. But did you know that the Lord, that's the judgment that He was given? He said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods." He could say that because the message of their life by their works and their heart, that's what they were telling to God. They felt like they were okay. They were in need of nothing. They weren't acknowledging their need. They weren't getting down humble before the Lord saying, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I need help." So He said, "I counsel thee." This was God now. I counsel thee. Have you ever got counsel from somebody you didn't follow and then later you thought, "Man, I sure wish I would have taken their counsel"? Brother John gave me an example of that before church. People do that. "I sure wish I would have taken your counsel." This is God giving His counsel now. Shouldn't we listen? God said, "I counsel thee," and it's to all of us, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire." The fire purging process is not always easy, but the Lord said, "I counsel you, let it be done. Let the dross come out. Humble yourself down. Acknowledge your need. Recognize that you need help, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Solomon said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh," here's the hope of the gospel, if you are willing to confess and you're willing to forsake, you don't have to be afraid of confessing. He said, "He shall have mercy." David said, "I acknowledged my sin unto the Lord, and my transgression have I not hid." He said, "I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and He forgave us the iniquity of my sin." Isn't that wonderful? When the enemy comes in like a flood and begins to point to all the places where you're not right and then gives you no hope, that's the enemy. But the Lord in His faithfulness is going to come, and when He begins to touch at places in your life, get it out before the Lord. That's where the victory is. You're not hiding anything from the Lord by not telling Him. He already knows. You're not going to open His eyes. He just wants your eyes to be opened. He just wants us to recognize our need. And He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Because He loves us to show us our need. Be willing to acknowledge your need. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice..." Isn't that wonderful that He told that to the Laodiceans after He told them, "I'll spew you out of my mouth, you're lukewarm, you're wretched, you're poor, you're naked, you're I don't like what I'm seeing, and you're going to be lost." But then He said, "Oh, but I counsel thee, buy of some of what I have, and oh, by the way, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him, I'll sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father
in His throne. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, by giving the Lord our heart, by being willing to acknowledge our need. We are not saved by penance. We are saved by God already paid the price. We're saved by merely, Lord, here am I. Here's my problems. Here's my sins. I lay them at your feet. And going forward and being connected to the energy source and saying, Lord, please forgive me. Give me power. I want to do different. And the Lord said, I'll come in. I'll be with you. And you can overcome. And you can sit with me in heavenly places. What a wonderful message of hope. Let's not let it pass us by. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.